Support for this program is provided by Chevron.
I'm Anthony Adragna. This is Politico Energy.
Mr. Secretary General, it's good to meet you.
Good to see you, Ms. Lorraine.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
He led the United Nations during the decade where climate change took off as a global priority. Now, former Secretary General Ban Ki-moon wants the world's leading economies to put their money where their mouths are. Today, his conversation with Politico's Lorraine Weller. It's Monday, August 2nd. All right, Lorraine, so when we think about what's needed to kind of avoid the worst impacts of climate change, the United Nations kind of feels like a natural big player, given it takes worldwide cooperation and resolution together. Can you give us a sense of the role the UN has played in combating climate change, and more specifically, Ban Ki-moon's role?
Yeah, I mean, basically, it's sort of a diplomatic role. It's not like they set hard and fast rules, but they can set standards and they can get everybody in the room together, obviously. So when Ban Ki-moon was there, he was there from 2007 to 2016. You know, he really got the conversation started in a really meaningful way on climate.
You called your climate activism one of your proudest moments. Why is that?
Because that's for humanity and planet Earth. This is a real crisis. Climate change has been approaching much, much faster than what we might have thought.
Yeah, how high of a priority was climate change during his tenure there?
It was like the top thing.
You have the power to secure the well-being of this and succeeding generations.
I mean, obviously, we had other problems going on. Like, you know, we were coming out of the financial recession. So there were a lot of things happening in the world. But he made climate one of his very top priorities over there. And he came at it really from a personal, highly personal point of view, because he truly was thinking about his children and his grandchildren and what kind of world they would grow up in. So it became a personal imperative for him.
And obviously, he was there at the time when the Paris Climate Accord was reached.
Exactly.
Did you get the sense that he feels like he accomplished as much as he would have liked to on climate change during his tenure there?
I think we are much better now than 2007.
Well, he's been disappointed at what has happened since, right? So the Paris Climate Accord, of course, is still the thing that we're all hanging our hopes on, you know, at the moment, at 6 years later. And he is very disappointed that it has not gone better. He criticizes the U.S. and other rich nations for dropping the ball on funding. He criticizes President Trump for pulling out of the Paris Accord. And he's just been very disappointed at sort of where we are.
Right. And so he left in 2016, right before former President Trump won the presidency. And the U.S. obviously took a backseat on climate policy during that administration. With Biden in office, does he give you a sense that he feels like we're in a good place to catch up to some of these international goals?
He, you know, of course, thinks Biden is a huge improvement because he's signaled that we will return to the climate agreement, and he has pushing a domestic agenda on climate. But, you know, he doesn't see a lot coming out of the administration or Congress, primarily Congress, for funding for some of these multi-development, you know, bodies to combat climate change, for example, in like, you know, poorer nations, helping them, you know, lower the emissions and make the transition.
Yeah, so I guess honing in on that point, what are some of the places in particular where he thinks the international community and the U.S. specifically need to do more to address climate change?
He just wants money. The U.S. and some of our Western wealthy allies have not kept up with their funding to like the World Bank, for example, and then, you know, the World Bank has not then kept up with its promises to spend primarily in developing nations. So there's this chain reaction. And by the way, step up to promises that they made, for example, under President Obama in the U.S.
Now, he's not out of this fight, right? He's still working on climate issues pretty actively.
He is. He just wrote a book, and he, you know, climate takes up a whole chapter in the book. And He is started basically a nonprofit NGO type group, and he's actively engaged in a number of nonprofit organizations pushing the climate discussion.
What is he looking for from the business community?
You know, well, it's interesting because when President Trump pulled the U.S. out of the Paris Accord, business in the United States tried to step in and fill the breach. And he was very complimentary of business. He thinks that corporate America and large, you know, multinational corporations are doing a lot on climate change. It's not just talk. He says, in fact, they're doing better and more than government.
Also, late on Sunday, senators released the text of their sprawling 2,700-page-plus infrastructure proposal with significant energy, water, and resiliency provisions. Majority Leader Chuck Schumer vowed to complete consideration of the legislation in, quote, a matter of days, before immediately turning to a budget resolution that would unlock a $3.5 trillion Democratic-only reconciliation process, where Democrats intend to make massive climate change investments. Senators will now have the opportunity to offer amendments to the bipartisan package, and negotiators said they hope to wrap up consideration of the bill this week. For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our newsletter at politico.com/morningenergy. And for your dose of politics and the ins and outs of Washington, join Raghu Manavalan every morning at the Politico Playbook Daily Briefing. In 5 minutes, Raghu will get you up to speed with what's really going on in the nation's capital. I'm Anthony Dragna, and I'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Support for this program is provided by Chevron. Did you know that Chevron supports the ambitions of the Paris Agreement? In fact, they've even tied their executives' compensation to lowering the carbon emissions intensity of their operations. Because it's only human to help power a brighter future.